Thanks for tuning into the She Believe podcast. I am your host, Caroline Rose Owens, and this month we are doing something special on the show. I don't know about you, but as the weather begins to warm up and we enter into the summer months, my insecurities seem to come out of hibernation with the animals. Now, maybe it's because I know I'll soon be switching out of the pants and sweaters and into shorts and swimsuits, but every year at this time, I begin to work out a little more, eat a little less ice cream, and become a little more concerned with the way that I look. Now, no one wants to feel uncomfortable in their own skin, but as children of God, we were all created in His image and likeness, making us all uniquely beautiful, and I want to remind you of that. Now, I easily forget this truth as much as the next gal, so I figured we'd spend the month of May learning together how to build confidence, overcome insecurities, and live out our femininity in a way that highlights our inherent beauty and worth. Let's think of it this way. The next 4 weeks are going to be a virtual beauty boot camp. But instead of workouts and makeovers, it'll be a boot camp for the heart and soul. It's my hope that with each conversation, you'll come to recognize more fully who God's created you to be so that you will have the confidence and courage to be His light in this world. So to kick off our beauty boot camp, we are welcoming Nicole Caruso to the podcast today. Nicole spent years working in the fashion industry, ranging from freelance makeup artist to being the beauty editor at Verily magazine. Nicole's Catholic faith has given her the understanding of her dignity and value that comes from God, and she's made it her personal mission to inspire women to invest in their self-worth. She joins me today to share her story of discovering how she could truly do her makeup for Christ and to remind us that we are all worthy of wearing the beautiful things in our closets. So I hope you are just excited as I am, because on that note, let Beauty Bootcamp 2020 commence. Hi there, I'm Caroline, a recent college grad and your new personal cheerleader. The She Believe podcast is our time to chat as friends and dig deep into the real stuff. I'm here to let you know someone's in your corner and share truth that will help you become more fully who God has created you to be. Thanks for joining the conversation. You are always welcome. Nicole, welcome to the podcast. From the moment I met you at SLS, I knew right then that I needed to have you on. So today is finally the day, and I could not be more excited.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for our chat.
So if you guys who are listening aren't familiar with Nicole, she is the Catholic fashion guru and makeup artist, and she isn't tending to her sweet kids. She's inspiring all of us on Instagram to invest in our inherent self-worth and remind us that fashion and makeup can actually lead us and others to Christ. Now, did you think that was possible? Well, if not, you're in luck, because we're going to get into all of that in today's episode. But before we get there, Nicole, I want to start with something fun. So what is your favorite clothing item or maybe an accessory in your closet right now that is just making you excited? Maybe a new spring item piece that you want to bring out? What is just making you feel happy from your wardrobe?
Well, I would say one thing that I am so excited about but I'm not wearing right now is this beautiful trench coat that I scored like 70% off from Anina Bing. She had like a crazy sale. And it's just the type of thing where you throw it on with the most simple jeans and a t-shirt and you just feel so put together and elegant, and it just, I love it. So
I feel like it's always those staple pieces where it's like one thing and then it completes the outfit. So you don't have put so much effort in finding so many different pieces, but just like that one staple.
Yes. And especially when it's a coat for springtime. Yeah, totally excited about that. But hopefully after this whole thing blows over, I'll get to wear it again.
I hope so. I know. I just got this new Gigi Pip hat. I don't know if you're familiar with that brand. Yeah. But I got it for my birthday back in January and I haven't been able to wear it. And so I'm just like, let me go outside so I can wear my new hat. So I'd say that's like my favorite clothing item in my wardrobe, but I haven't even gotten the chance to wear it. So one day it'll make an appearance.
Sometimes just looking at it, especially right now, we're all like stuck at home. I just look at it and I'm like, okay, that's going to happen soon.
Really, I keep my hat on my chair that's like in the middle of my room so I can just see it as I pass by. Like the color of it blends nicely into my room. So it's really an accessory right now.
I love that.
Well, Nicole, we have talked about fashion and modesty on the podcast before, but today I really want to dig deep into how the clothes that we wear, the makeup we put on, the way we do our hair, how all of that can truly reveal our inherent value. And I know that's something you're really passionate about. speaking about and encouraging women in. So I want to start there. So maybe you could bring us back to a moment in your life that you recognized that your passion for beauty and fashion was actually revealing more of who you were as a beloved daughter of God and not just something extra or fun to do on the side.
You know, it's funny. I started going a spiritual direction when I was about 16, and I had never done that before. It was brand new to me. And I remember sitting with my spiritual director, and somehow this topic of makeup came up because I love it, and I do love playing with it and trying it on friends. And I remember my spiritual director saying to me, why do you do your makeup? And this was like a question I had never really thought about before. And then her follow-up question was, do you think you can do your makeup for Christ? And I'm just sitting there on this couch like, what? That makes no sense. Why would I be doing my makeup for God? Like, does he even care that I'm wearing makeup? Is that, like, it just, it spurred this whole kind of exploration as to why I was doing it, what my intention was behind it, and then how can I use something like makeup to dignify myself and to feel confident and to show others who he made me to be. So that's kind of, that was like the seed that got planted when I was 16. And I think since then, I have really seen this sort of unravel in a beautiful way where I've always had the passion to share beauty and makeup and fashion and style with women, mostly because I started working as a makeup artist when I was 19. And so that was when I got to sit really face-to-face, like really close face-to-face with women who had all these different stories, had insecurities, had issues with their skin, really needed help learning technique. And I just became this resource for them. And it was just this natural talent that I had that I've just kind of been polishing over the years. And I think once I saw how just a simple makeup or a simple technique could really change someone's whole life, you know, like sometimes it's just a matter of figuring out how to cover your blemishes or seeing that, you know, you have the most gorgeous eyebrows that just attract people to looking at you and seeing your smile in your eyes. And I think once people can recognize that, that's when I started to notice that this was so much bigger than the tool of the makeup or the brush that I was using. It was really a way to reach the hearts of these women and also in turn kind of let them see themselves as beautiful, sometimes for the first time. And so that's when I just thought, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
That's a pretty big question of how can you do your makeup for Christ? Can you do that for God? Like, I feel like that would just rock your whole world, especially as a 16-year-old. Like, that question wouldn't even have crossed my mind.
No, I think at the time, just like a magazine hoarder that just was reading every tip and trick from every magazine I could get my hands on. And that did not have the same worldview of how do I do my makeup for Christ, you know? So it really was kind of forcing me to think about it in a new way. And I know that was the Holy Spirit.
So what did your faith life look at this time? Like, okay, you were 16 going through spiritual direction. I feel like that kind of reveals a little bit about how serious you were. But did you think
how much help I needed.
Hey, you know, it depends on which way you see it.
Yeah.
But did you ever, like, did that immediately kind of put those two things together for you? Like, did you ever think that your passion and, like, your desire for your faith and to pursue holiness would be able to fit together?
Well, I have to say, I grew up, I'm Italian-American, so the faith was definitely something that we did our major sacraments, but it wasn't something I understood on a deeper level, you know, and so, you know, a crucifix or a saint statue was more like decor. I didn't really understand what it meant, and I didn't have a personal connection. And when I turned 16, I met these beautiful consecrated women in the Regnum Christi movement, and they just started inviting me to all these events, and I just like was like learning so much all at once about our faith and just kind of fell in love with it. And it was like right between 15 and 16. So all the things up until that moment were, I don't know, cultural appreciation for the Catholic faith. And I think once I had that opportunity to really speak to someone about where I was at spiritually and also know that they were like trying to guide me in a way that was using my talents, kind of fueling my strengths, maybe pushing me outside of my comfort zone a little bit, that was just like so life-giving for me, because it's really hard, I think, to walk the faith journey alone, no matter what stage of life you're in, but also to have someone that sees your potential and can really kind of lead you in a very gentle way, like outside of yourself. That's how, I mean, I just have to credit that. And I've been going to spiritual direction ever since too, just having that person help you discern and help you decipher God's word, because life is so busy and noisy and crazy that it would have been very easy for me to take my love of fashion and beauty and just go the more, I don't know what the word is, like just go the more worldly route, where I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it for a job to get a paycheck, and not really having any kind of connection to it, or doing it in a dignified way.
And I think what a gift that your spiritual director was able to show you that, like, there was another way. And like you said, like, this wasn't the worldview that you were being presented with. And I think while it was such a gift, I'm sure it wasn't easy because everyone wasn't seeing that way. And I think a lot of people, especially in Christian cultures, can see you investing in your beauty and fashion, makeup, like, as selfish, or that you're self-centered, you spend too much time on yourself. And then I think out of their own insecurities that they make rude comments towards you or kind of try to belittle you for looking put together. I have even experienced that. Like, I, in high school, I would dress up a lot and everyone always would make comments like, oh, why do you get put together every day so much? And then in college, like, especially at church or things, like, everyone would always comment on what I was wearing and how I always just looked so put together. But it wasn't never really in a way to build me up. You could tell that there was like that underlying thing there that was like, oh, like, why do you have to like go over and beyond and like make all of us look bad? And then it made me question, like, oh, am I being selfish? Am I being prideful? Like, should I not be putting too much time and effort into my appearance? And so I'm curious, like, did you ever experience this? Like, how did you navigate those negative comments and trying to feel like, okay, am I being selfish in this? Or am I really able to glorify God and do my makeup and my fashion for Him, like your spiritual director suggested?
You know, I don't think it was a very linear path for me in that respect. I think because personal style is so much trial and error, and when you're at that age of being, you know, teenager, high school, college, we're so, it's so mercurial. Like, we can be shifted by what our friends wear or what we see trending, or, you know, now it's like, what's on Instagram? What are those people wearing? And the same with makeup. And so I think at that time I was just experimenting a lot and didn't always understand like why modesty was important. So I just don't want anyone to think that like just this perfect, neat little path happened, because it didn't. It was really messy. But I think once I did, I think that's, you know, honestly, that's why I love living in cities. And I know that sounds a little silly, but I think people in cities do put forth a little more effort for various reasons, whether it's job or just culturally because everyone else is. I think that's where I started to feel at home. Like, once I moved to New York and lived in Manhattan, I just was like, oh my gosh, these are my people.
you know, look good.
And I was getting inspired, and you see people on the street and you just think, I just want to take a picture of what they're wearing, you know? And luckily we have like street style blogs for that now. But, you know, as far as the criticism goes, I think, you know, I've been dealing with bullying and comments and just snarky people for a very long time. I don't think I knew I was being bullied until like 10 years or 15 years after the fact. And then it kind of all sunk in one day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been dealing with this for a long time. And I think a question I get a lot too, which kind of I think is related to this, is like, well, how do you pull that off? Or how do you, you know, and I'm, gosh, I get so passionate that I'm going to get out of breath. But I think number one, when someone makes a rude comment to you about what you're wearing or really about anything about you, you have to know, number one, that that's coming from a place in their heart where they've been hurt. Mm. And so, you know, it kind of triggers a response in them of judgment, of trying to shame you, or you're making them uncomfortable about themselves, and therefore they feel the need to kind of squash you in that moment. And I think it's really, really good for us to have that in the back of our mind, because it's not really about us. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to remember. You know, whether you're wearing a red lip to the grocery store, or you decided to, you know, wear some high heels for mass on a Sunday evening when everyone else is just really super casual, like, that's between you and God, and that's you know, not anyone else's business, really. And I just find that really sad, how much women especially shame other women in that respect. And so I think, you know, I guess I'm getting a little off track here, but reel me back in, Caroline.
You're doing great. Keep it up.
So I guess I would say between bullying, snarky comments, and also just trying to know, like, how to pull something off, it's kind of a decision that you have to make about yourself and kind of what behavior you'll tolerate. So I know, especially in now that I'm a mother, there's a lot of that in the kind of mom community of, like, if you put forth too much effort, you're making us all look bad. If you don't put forth any effort, then, you know, you're just like a slave to your family. So, you know, really, it doesn't matter, like, if you're going to the grocery store in yoga pants or a great outfit that's, like, super styled. It's really, like, representative of what you're doing that day, what your lifestyle is, if you're having a bad day. And it's really for no one else to comment on. And if you're trying to, like, try a new thing, and people are shaming you for it, I think you need to decide, like, how important is this to me? Because you need to kind of build up that armor inside and let yourself deflect those comments, and just say, you know what, I really want to start wearing red lipstick. I think it's really elegant. I think it's really beautiful. And people are going to probably say something to me, and I'm just going to smile and say, yeah, I love this lipstick. The end. There's no need to apologize. There's no need to say, oh, you know, I'm just trying this new thing. And, you know, we don't need to say that. We don't need to, like, even bring that into the comment. It's just find a nice kind of deflective comment to say and just leave it at that with a big smile.
Yeah, I think that's all really good advice. And yeah, you covered a lot there. And I think it just goes back to, yeah, that we don't owe anyone an explanation for wanting to be more intentional in the way that we look or in the way that we want to just experiment with our beauty. Because especially as women, as many of you listening are women, like, we do have such an inherent beauty that we've been given. Like, we are the crown of creation, and what we wear should be a reflection of who we are. And so each of us are so different. We each have different passions. We have different things that we're good at. Like, all of it's going to be different. And, like, what one person's wearing may not be what is really what you are a fan of. And that's okay. Like, we all don't have to have the same personal style. Like, all of that goes into being part of, like, this universal church that, like, every piece has to be different for it to all work together. And Nicole, I think that's why your message is so beautiful, because it's not saying, like, here's the one style, like, everyone that is, like, boho, like, that is where it is. It's really, like, how do you make sure that your value is being shown? And we do. We all inherently have that same goodness in us, but we can all be revealing it in different ways. And I think that is really the inspiration behind your movement, your Worthy of Wearing movement. And I would just love for you to explain a little bit more with my listeners what that is and maybe what your inspiration is behind that movement, for those that are not familiar.
So Worthy of Wearing is a movement that started just out of my own sort of need. And isn't that how all these things start? We just realize there's something missing. I was newly, you know, I had my daughter who's six, and then my son. And it was just after his pregnancy. He was about, I don't know, he was almost 1 year old by then. And I was noticing that I was falling into this same habit that I did with my daughter after she was born, which was that I had all these things in my closet that I was just in my mind, as you're going through the hangers, saying, oh, no, not today. Like, that's for this occasion. That's for that occasion. That's off limits. And it left this very slim, you know, three shirts and two pairs of pants that were really ratty and really needing to be replaced and not fitting me that well. And I had done this to myself, and I realized that there was no way that I was alone. So I thought of how, like, we are worthy of the beautiful things in our closet. We are worthy of the jewelry we have. We are worthy of even using our nice, you know, china teacups if that's what we're, if that's something we have in our home. And it's really a mindset shift, I think, that that had to happen for me. And it was such a confidence boost. Once I, like, gave myself permission to start wearing those pieces that really brought me joy, that really made me feel like myself and feel confident, I felt my whole, just my whole mindset change about everything. I felt like I could get out and be more social. I felt like I could pursue the creative things that I had been kind of putting on the back burner. And I also just felt like I was a little bit more joyful. I had a little more pep in my step, and it really was transformative for me. So I started sharing it with other women, and they all had similar stories. And I just thought, gosh, this is something we all need to do together. So this past February, we did like a little challenge, and I can't tell you how many messages that I got that I was just tearing up of women that had a transformative moment from letting go of the things that were holding them back, wearing the things they felt beautiful in, recognizing that they're a beautiful creation of God. And it's okay if you want to wear a stunning necklace while you're home with your kids, or it's okay to dress up a little bit for mass on campus, and because you feel good and you feel at peace in your heart. So, you know, worthy of wearing started out as just a hashtag on Instagram. And now it's sort of turned into something else. It's grown. So
I feel like sometimes we don't give confidence enough credit. Like, always like, okay, you know, you need to be confident in what you're wearing and what you're doing. But I think being confident, and especially in the sense of what we're talking about with the clothes that we're wearing, the makeup that we're wearing, it really gives us the ability to kind of put ourselves behind and be able to focus on what's at hand. And I think sometimes our culture kind of gets that turned around. They think that if we're putting too much time into the way we look, then it's saying, hey, look at me. When really, like, and the same thing is modesty. They talk about this a lot. Like, if your skirt is too short, then you're focused on yourself. You're focused on always pulling it down. You're always focused on, yeah, what are people thinking when they're looking at me? But when, and then I think the same thing goes when we don't feel comfortable in our clothing, if we think it doesn't flatter us, if we feel like our makeup is too much or too little, or we're insecure with our skin, like that distracts from being able to see the people in front of us, to serve our children, to be present to our classmates. And really how, yeah, our culture is like wrong in giving us that mindset that like this is selfish, because really it is allowing us to turn outward and be more present to people when we're less focused on ourselves by just putting in maybe that little extra effort in the morning when we're getting ready.
Completely agree with you. I just have this vision of myself working in fashion in New York, and of course trying to dress like cutting edge, like I belonged there and really feel like I was part of the crowd. And there were a few outfits that I wore to work that I was so distracted by the fit. I was so distracted by just not feeling like quite like myself in them. And they truly weren't representative of me. They were just kind of experimenting and trying new things. And so then finally, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to wear what I feel good in, even though maybe somebody else would look at that and say, oh, that's really simple. And I noticed I was able to pay attention at work. I was much more confident with my voice and being able to bring up new ideas or share something that was on my mind instead of just cowering and thinking, oh gosh, all I can think about is that my belt keeps moving from the middle to the back of my skirt and I can't even think straight to ask a question or to share something confidently. I think there's something to be said for taking the time in the morning to get ready and then to just let that be done for the day so that you can go forth, like you said, you can serve, you can be present with people, and you're not constantly thinking about how you wish you could run to the bathroom and check if your dress is, you know, fitting you properly, or check if your pants are, you know, looking okay in the back, if they were, when you put them on, if they felt a little too tight or something like that. I just find that, you know, making that morning time really intentional, whether it's putting on the outfit you feel confident in, doing your makeup, or just really brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, grooming, can make such a difference in how you're present with the people that you serve and in your mission.
Yeah. And I think often I think of like insecurities, and I think of our culture tries to tell us with makeup, it's kind of both ends. Either wear a lot of makeup, that's how you become more beautiful, or it's also like that shaming of like, you shouldn't have to cover up your insecurities, you should embrace that. And so I'm curious how you have felt that the Worthy of Wearing challenge has helped you embrace those insecurities instead of just mask them and feel like, oh, we just have to ignore that they're there.
You know, I think anytime you talk about insecurities, it's difficult because we all have them, and we all have different ones for different reasons. And so that's why I think taking the time to really sit and think about what does bring you joy and why is so essential to this. The other part of it is that we don't live in black and white. In black and white is where you have the extremes. You know, you have plastic surgery, you have loads of makeup, you have the kind of the Instagram makeup where you're really altering the shape of your face and changing your features. Same with fashion. You know, you have fashion that's really, you know, like everything we see that's new that comes out on the runway, and it's not always dignifying to the human person. So you can live in that world and still take that time for yourself every day, but you're also detracting from your human dignity. And I think when we are doing that, we sense it, and we start to feel our insecurities kind of grow a little bit almost. So I know for myself, whenever I experimented with something that was maybe a little more fashion-y and wasn't quite as modest, I never felt like myself. So my insecurities grew. If you put me in a floral print pink dress, I would not feel like myself. I'll tell you right now, I would feel super insecure. But for other people, that's like their favorite thing. So I think being able to be aware of what your insecurities are, whether it's body or your skin or your face or all of the above, you know, we all sometimes have all of the above, is number one, to just be patient with yourself, and then to find that thing that really brings you joy. So I know for one of my friends, like, pants are not her thing. She doesn't feel comfortable in pants. Every time she wears them, she feels like they don't fit her body right. But when she wears a dress, stunning. And you can see it in her eyes. She feels good. She feels confident. And I'm like the total opposite. To me, like, a great pair of pants is everything, and dresses sometimes freak me out and just don't fit right. So, I think just finding your thing, finding those things that bring you joy, whether it's doing your makeup, doing your hair, doing, you know, a great pair of shoes, making your signature style and kind of really relishing in that and not feeling like you have to make it look like someone else.
What are your best tips? So I feel like, so you're a mom, you're a little bit older than our average listener who's maybe in high school or college. What would you say, like, you have learned, like, the most important lesson you've learned in enhancing your beauty and really finding, like, what are those things that make you feel comfortable? I totally relate to the whole, like, pants versus skirt thing. And it took me a really long time to learn that. I mean, you know yourself when you go into the dressing room and it's just like a chore to try something on. Like, for me, that's pants. Like, finding jeans is the most stressful thing ever. But dresses, like, my whole closet is filled with them because I'm like, oh, every dress I put on, I'm like, oh, I love this. I feel so confident. But it took kind of that realization of like, oh, this actually changes the whole way that I feel. And just because these things look good on other people, Lizzie and I kind of talked about this in her podcast episode about modesty and finding your personal fashion. But you can appreciate that something looks good on someone else and recognize, like, maybe this isn't the best for my body. So yeah, going back to that question of like, what would you say are your best tips in trying to find what is best for you and what makes you really feel confident and enhances your natural beauty?
I think the way that, you know, you can find personal style, I mean, there are like stacks and stacks of books on this, so I don't know if I could whittle it down to one little soundbite, but the first place to start, I think, is seeking inspiration. Just kind of like wipe the whole, you know, board clean and start looking at movies, start looking at magazines if you want, blogs, street style. I'm a huge Pinterest person. I love the visual aspect of being able to put everything, you know, in rows and just look at everything all together. But you know, there is a difference between appreciation, like you said, and actually knowing what works on your body. So I think it does help to know your body shape, because then you can see like what's flattering. So if, you know, there's all the typical shapes that you hear of, but I never like to put anyone in a box, but I think sometimes, like, knowing if you're an hourglass figure or a triangle or an apple, like, those things, can be helpful when you're as far as looking at shapes that actually will flatter your figure. And then the next thing to think about is, like, what textures do you feel comfortable in? Like, I know for some people, wool sweaters are like the itchiest thing ever, and for other people, it's like a staple in their closet. So knowing, like, what do I feel comfortable in? What colors do I love to wear? What suits my complexion? We all have these beautiful individual complexions, and I really believe that every woman is made beautiful, whether she believes it or not. And just kind of looking at your God-given beauty, like, what color eyes did you have? What does your complexion look like? What is your hair like? And maybe start to think about, what are the things I love about myself that are not my physical appearance? And then start with that, and then move to, okay, do I like my smile? Do I like my broad shoulders? Do I like my eyebrows? Do I like my curly hair? Like, think of those things that you do love about yourself and celebrate them, and give yourself permission to celebrate them. And then, as you kind of hunt for inspiration for style, start keeping record of it. Sometimes when we feel like we're in a slump, or we look at our closet and we just think, everything in my closet doesn't match what I actually want to be wearing. And obviously, we can't, like, throw everything out all at once and start from zero. But, do start weeding out those things that you know don't suit you, that make you feel insecure, that don't make you feel confident about who you are. And then keep a little list in your phone. This is something I've been doing for a long time. I call it my to-buy list. So whether I'm, whether you're out at a thrift store or a department store, or you're shopping online, and you see something and you kind of go, oh my gosh, wait, do I need this? Or is this what I've been looking for? You can kind of glance at it and say, okay, I've been looking for a trench coat. I've been looking for a great pair of pants. I've been looking for a black sweater that I can kind of throw on it with everything. And then that way you're much more intentional when you're buying too. You're not just buying a shirt at Target because it's $5.99 and it's on sale and I should probably get it because it's so cheap. I did that for the longest time, and my closet looked like a hot mess. And basically, 90% of it was complete junk. And you wash it one time, and it falls apart. So I think just being more intentional with our shopping habits too. And I think all of us, have our different budget for clothing and things like that. So just being mindful of that. And yeah, I think that sort of covers it. But there's a lot more you can go into, obviously, on how to build your personal style, but just being patient with yourself too.
No, I think all of those are really great tips. And I'm like thinking in my head, like, okay, I'm going to start one of those lists now. Especially, I think in those transitional periods, like here I am, I was a college student. My uniform for college kind of looked like leggings or running shorts and a sorority t-shirt or jeans and like a sweater. Where now moving into the workforce, I mean, my closet is going to have to look different. And so, yeah, definitely being mindful of like, how do I still keep like my personal style in? Want to be able to dignify who I am and my inherent goodness and value, while also, yeah, making sure that I feel good and comfortable and happy with the clothes that I'm wearing. Because, that's like the most discouraging thing, is to go through your closet and feel like, oh, I hate this and I hate this. And then that's when you end up wearing the same sweatpants every day.
Right. And we all have gaps in our closet too, that sometimes need some things need to be filled in more than others. Like, what are your highest priority items? So obviously, going into the workforce, like, a great blazer is a high priority item, and having something like that, that, even if you just have one, you can wear it 1,000 different ways and just know that it fits you well and you're comfortable in it. And I think kind of looking at your lifestyle is really important when you're thinking about your personal style as well. Like you were saying, you're going from college to the workforce, so you need to think about how your lifestyle is going to be a little different, and what you'd be wearing on a day-to-day basis. And I also think people undervalue the basics. Basics are really the essentials. We all have different versions of basics, but in the workforce, there's kind of one, more corporate version of basics. If you're working from home, these things kind of, they can change. But I think being aware of kind of the contexts that you live in a lot. So for me, it's like working from home, running around with my kids, going to mass, and then maybe going to, like, after end of the day, like networking events, like having some fun shoes or having some fun jewelry to throw on. Those are kind of like the three places I spend the most time. So I think it's good to also think about that, because you might have a closet full of things that actually don't suit you anymore. And it may be time to just reevaluate that.
I think what I held on to in all of that was when you said you can have one thing that you wear multiple times in multiple different ways. I think, especially with my generation, it's so much of like, okay, I'm going to buy this fast fashion because I'm only allowed to wear this once. Like if someone else sees me wearing this same thing again, like, oh my gosh, like I'm done. And I think it's just crazy to like, even my mind is going now to like this throwaway culture that we have in all aspects, like that goes far beyond fashion. But how really, like, we do need to change our mindset in all areas of our life, and even in our fashion, of like, yeah, quality over quantity, where it's like, yeah, it's okay to wear the same really great blazer multiple times. And just even the beauty and being able to be creative in that, of like, you don't have to wear the same outfit every time you wear that blazer, but just that one piece of how when you have good solid foundations, you're able to build upon them and not just feel like you have to get something new every single time. Like, you know, understand and recognize the beauty and the quality of the things that you do have.
I think you're right. And when you think of like, when people think of fashion icons, like the people who just, you know, the women that come to mind, like you think of Jackie Kennedy, she had a very specific signature style, and she had her shift dresses. She had her little wide leg cropped pants with her little jackets. Like she had different versions of the same pieces in her closet. And because of that, she had a signature style. No one ever said, oh, Jackie, she's so boring. She always wears pants and she always wears shift dresses. No, they were like, oh, here she is again, looking fabulous. You know, and you think of even the people now in the fashion industry that I love to see at fashion shows and seeing their street style. It's always the same uniform, just updated with certain little touches. Like maybe, like there's this one fashion editor that I love, Caroline de Magritte, and she always wears blazers and pants and heels and messy long hair. And it's like totally informed some of my personal style favorite things. But, you know, sometimes she'll wear like a really cool button down underneath the blazer, or sometimes it's like a really cozy sweater, or she'll roll the sleeves of the blazer and make it all scrunched up. Like just playing with the styling of it and not necessarily saying like, you know, this is my going out outfit for this one day of this one year. And I'm going to be in 5,000 pictures and I can never wear it again. You know, I think we need to turn away from that, especially now as we're all kind of like buckling down a little bit, and really think of like, what is my signature style, even with makeup? Like, what is the go-to face that I love to put on every day that I feel confident in? And then how can I make little tweaks, little styling tweaks that just make it feel like more me, you know, whether it's adding vintage jewelry or it's adding a scarf, or, you know, just having fun with and being more playful with style.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that just like goes into every area of our life.
Yes. I mean, it's like anything else. I think having a routine is very healthy, and forming those habits are really healthy. And we have to do the same with how we treat ourselves, making that time for ourselves every day, whether it's, you know, exercise, prayer time, hydration, taking time to get dressed and to for hygiene, even, you know, taking care of your nails, taking care of your hair. These are all things that I think over time, like it seems like they're just these simple things that, oh, I can just let that go or let this go. But really over time, it does build on itself. And it really does make you feel like, this is who I am. This is what I do. These are the habits that I have. These are the things that I wear. And you just become so much more comfortable in your own skin. You know, you become 100% authentically yourself, because it's just part of you. It's an extension of you.
So that makes me curious, like, how have you implemented things into your daily life? Like, what has that looked like over the years to invest more in yourself, into your faith? And how would you really invite other women to begin if that's something that they're interested in starting up?
The biggest thing is forming good habits and kind of letting go of those habits that hold us back. There's a great book that I'm almost finished with called Atomic Habits, that he actually goes into this in incredible detail. But how we have a relationship with our routines, and it a lot of times informs our mindset. It informs how we talk to ourselves. It informs that voice in our head of like what we can accomplish or what we can't. So I think For me, it took a long time to figure out, especially after becoming a mom, how to figure out how to fight for that time. And even before, I mean, before I had children, before I was out of college, I still couldn't quite figure out how to prioritize myself because I'm such an extrovert that if anybody asked me to do anything, I was like, I'm there. I'm going to do whatever I was doing. I'm done with that. I'm going to go out now with my friends. So I never really understood how to kind of put boundaries around my time. And I think that's when I started to learn that, it really gave me so much peace. And so now every morning, like I go into the bathroom for 15 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever I have, and I close the door, or I just tell my kids like, mama needs time. And it's my time. And it's same with my prayer time every morning. I get my Magnificat and my coffee. And if they interrupt me, I'm just gentle reminder, like, this is my prayer time. I'm praying. you kind of have to fight for it for yourself. And I think it really comes down to being able to show up for yourself. Like, can we do that? Can we show up for ourselves? Are we so busy showing up for other people that we neglect ourselves? Because that is so common. Like, we all have done it where I, you know, there have been seasons of my life where I just felt like a whole year went by and I was completely neglecting myself. And I think once you really commit and say, I'm going to do this for me, I'm going to do this for Christ, and Lord, I need your grace to do this because otherwise I'm just going to fail. And just not beating yourself up when you do miss a day or something like that, but just getting back into it and allowing yourself to begin again is really important. It's important to be gentle, but it's also important to say, you know what, this is really important to me. And even if my very best friend or this very important thing comes along that I feel like needs my attention and I have to put this aside, it's like if we do that to ourselves, then what are we doing in our relationships and what are we doing in our jobs and in our classes and things like that? So just remember that, you know, by putting ourselves first with the intention of being the best version of ourselves is not selfish. God wants us to be that light in this world, and we need that more than ever. So, you know, making sure that you can kind of put the oxygen mask on, like serve yourself. So that way you can go out and serve others, but just set boundaries on your time and on your habits of like, this is what I'm going to do and when can be life changing.
Yeah. And I think it does come down to what that intention is and making sure that we're filling up our own cups before we're pouring into other people. Like, I feel like we hear that so often, but I think it just rings so true, especially with women and with self-care and just dignifying ourselves, because especially as a mom, like you're pouring so much into your children, you're encouraging them, even on social media, like you do the same, that you need to make sure that you're doing those things for yourself and you're allowing other people and you're allowing that time with God to really fill you up so you're able to share that goodness with other people, because without it, yeah, we're pouring from nothing.
Yeah, burnout is not good for anybody. That's not a good look. No. we need to make time for prayer, make time to care for our bodies, make time to care for our souls. And then, you know, we have the energy and presence of mind to do anything after that.
Yeah, no amount of under eye concealer can cover up the burnout. You need true rest.
Yes.
Well, Nicole, I just look at you as an older sister and just as a mentor, and I'm just so grateful for the advice that you've shared with us today and just on social media and just the way that you minister to the woman in your life. And so as we come to an end, I'm just curious, you have shared so much of how your personal style and beauty has really just shown you more intimately who God is, shown you more of your inherent goodness. But how has God fulfilled his promise to you? How do you really believe that he has been working in your life?
I think back to this day where I was at a Catholic conference of some type, and they were doing outdoor confessions, and the priests were all sitting in folding chairs. This was a first for me. Okay, I was like, what is going on? This is crazy. But I remember going and sitting with this priest who I'd never seen before in my life, and at the very end, he looked at me, and he said with like complete conviction, as if he had known me my whole life, God has great plans for you. Mm. And I had never heard anyone say that to me ever. I'm getting kind of like emotional actually thinking of it. But when I've seen, especially over this last year, how speaking about my love of fashion and beauty and style with women and seeing how it has impacted their life, that is how I'm seeing this all come full circle, because I'm getting messages from women who are, feeling like themselves, feeling alive for the first time in a long time, or leaving an abusive relationship because they realize that their dignity is worth so much more than that. Or just seeing that, making a small tweak can really lift your mood and boost your creativity and boost your confidence. Seeing all of that, just it makes me know that this is not me. This is just something. I'm the messenger. This is what Christ wants for women, and I'm so blessed to be able to be part of this. But kind of just thinking back to that confession and just seeing how God's will has unraveled in my life, even though I've made a thousand mistakes, is really humbling. And I feel like I hope it encourages the women listening to this today, because no matter how many times we fall, we can get right back up, ask for God's grace, and He will still do good work, with your talents and gifts.
Thank you for being that messenger and just fulfilling your mission, because you are made for something so great, and it's so beautiful to be able to be receiving that and just seeing God work through you has been such a gift.
I'm just so glad that I have gotten to know you and that we've become friends. It has been a great gift to me too.
Yeah, and Nicole is in Washington, D.C., so I'm really lucky now as I move there soon.
We're gonna have so much fun.
Maybe she'll be on another episode of the podcast
That'd be awesome.
live. But Nicole, thank you for joining me this week. And thank you to everyone that's listening for tuning in to this week's episode. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, could you please rate it and leave a review? I would love to see how our weekly conversations are impacting your life. So until we chat again, Nicole, if people want to connect with you on social media, where can they find you?
So I am on Instagram at NM Caruso, Caruso, and I also have a website, nicolemcaruso.com, where I share all sorts of things, and I would love to connect with everyone there.
Yes, so please give Nicole a follow, show her some love in the comments, send her a little DM maybe about what you've enjoyed from today's podcast. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Caroline Rose Owens. So until we chat again, I'll see you guys on the gram. Bye.
Bye.